Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the capacity for freedom. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and the Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The intent of the spiritual hierarchy is to increase humanity's capacity for freedom. I don't know, I have the feeling that freedom, in this sense, means something different than we normally understand by that idea. Am I right? Is that so?
You are right, yes. There's something about speaking of the capacity for freedom that kind of puts us on notice that there's a process of development that's required. And certainly we can look around and see a very permissive society with not too many expectations or rules keeping everybody in line, and we live with it on a daily basis, and we say, well, that's freedom. And we make the choice to allow people plenty of liberty, even if it inconveniences the rest of us. And we think that's right. But I think there's a lot of glamour surrounding the whole issue of freedom, especially with the war underway in Iraq. We've heard all about freedom and the virtues of promoting freedom in societies where there hasn't been any. In one sense, it's regarded as the be-all and end-all that every human being pursues, and I suppose that it is. But sometimes it gets a little strange. There's one state, I think it's New Hampshire, that has that license plate that says, live free or die. And every time I see that plate, I think, wait a minute, is there a third choice? Let's see, I don't want to die. I don't want to give up my freedom.
Move to another state, I guess.
Live free or die. It must come out of the revolution, when it was probably a rallying cry for the revolutionary troops against the British. But it's an interesting question. Is there a choice between freedom and death, and what does it mean to be free? I think we wouldn't necessarily all answer it in the same way.
No, and it's what's ironic about that about that slogan is that when you die, you are more free than when you were in a physical body. So,
that's yeah, another topic.
Yeah, that gets on to something
interesting
else.
Interesting one, too.
But, no, I think we have to realize that this idea of freedom that we have is very limited. And that that's why this keynote today, having to do with the capacity for freedom, is something that we have to look forward to, because there is a lot more to understand about freedom than we realize. And it's the capacity for freedom means that we need to, well, in a sense, gain or come up with a larger container so that we can hold more of the great amount of freedom, which is essentially the freedom of the soul, the consciousness of the soul that will provide us with this greater capacity for freedom the deeper understanding of what freedom really means.
Yes, it's an interesting metaphor or whatever, a larger container to hold freedom. The very small container of an unevolved personality that doesn't have a great deal of life experience or much of an understanding of his fellow human beings sees freedom as license, the license to pursue one's own will and desires and to fulfill whatever one's inclinations are. To a lot of people, that's freedom. And yet, wasn't it Abraham Lincoln that said one man's freedom stops where another man's rights begin?
Yeah, he did say that. You're right.
Yeah, it's an issue that has to be thought of and pursued in the context of society as a whole. Individual freedom has to be understood as something that affects the larger community, and it isn't just all about the individual. There's a difference between liberty and liberation, I think. Liberty probably is the individual's quest for personal autonomy, and in one sense that is a very spiritual pursuit. But liberation is something quite different.
Well, in a sense, that's what the whole keynote of the soul is, or the effort of the soul as it goes through incarnation after incarnation is attempting to bring about, is eventual liberation from the whole wheel of rebirth. That, of course, must reach a very high stage of initiation, a high stage of awakening of consciousness, but that is what lies ahead for every individual, is eventual liberation from the need to undergo this whole task, this whole process of reincarnation, life after life.
Well, it does have to do, freedom has to do with the shucking off of forms that are inevitably limiting, of more and more subtle varieties, but still, nevertheless, they are a limitation to the indwelling life. Liberation in the sense of the atom that gains release through radioactivity happens when that atom becomes responsive to the larger life and the magnetic pole of that larger life in which it dwells. And it seeks release from the limitation of its present sphere or circumference. And that's known as radioactivity. And in a sense, that same principle is underway in every human's evolution. As we break out of the limitations of the present forms we inhabit, particularly our personality and its talents and limitations, when we grow beyond that, we attain a liberation into a larger realm of being. And I think that's where you bring in the idea of death as a real release.
Well, yes, and release is the word, because once the form reaches a certain stage, a certain capacity, and for the soul to continue, it must have a better form, a more refined form, mm-hmm. to work through. Mm-hmm. And that's why death is kind of a release for the soul, so that it can move on to the next life, and the next life will pick up the thread again and create a better form, a more refined form, and the soul can then express this capacity for freedom much better. And the freedom to love and the freedom to understand and to reach out and be more encompassing. And that is really, it's the freedom that's really at the heart of the work of the soul and the work of the heart of the Christ. That was his attempt to bring this message to the world, this freedom to through love.
One of the interesting aspects of freedom is that it isn't just about the individual. Freedom has to open into a larger understanding of group need. Spiritual freedom is the development of the capacity to choose in terms of how one will relate to the larger whole. In other words, freedom and responsibility are very closely aligned in the view of the soul. Freedom means growth in service, growth in the capacity to blend and merge with the whole. It's such an unusual way of thinking about freedom in comparison to the personality, but freedom and responsibility aren't mutually exclusive. They don't cancel each other out. The soul is free from the claims of the personality, which is self-oriented, the view that it's all about me, and that's because the soul is detached from matter, it's detached from form, and it views its evolution in terms of what it contributes to the whole. So freedom, in the sense of having no obligations or responsibilities and no direction, is simply unknown to the soul.
Right. It says in the writings of Alice Bailey that freedom is a state of mind and not a condition of being.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state, it's a stage, really, of mind, of awakening of the mind. And
not of being.
Right. It's not a... Not a freedom of what you are in your physical mm-hmm. world, because that isn't really free. Come right down to it.
Well, a splendid example of that is Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for 28 years, I think, on Robben Island off of South Africa. And in his imprisonment that went on for decades of crushing rocks and having the most dreary existence, he became spiritually free because he gave up anger. He gave up hatred. He became, I suppose, his own person regardless of the limitations of his circumstances. And even now, he says that set him free.
Right.
Spiritually, psychologically.
Yes, and I think probably any prisoner or any person in prison could try to experience that, because it may help release some of the burden that they're faced with on a daily basis.
I wonder if all of us who find ourselves in constrained circumstances for whatever reason, circumstances that seem to impinge on what we would really like to do and become, if we viewed those circumstances and the present state of our situation as something that is appropriate for our present state of growth, we might be able to mine those circumstances for some gold that we didn't know was there. Every circumstance, no matter what it is, contains something that can be of use to the development of the soul.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the capacity for freedom. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including a short section on freedom, our topic for today. It's available for $19. Once again, Serving Humanity is really, in essence, it's so much about serving people and the joy that one should get and the evolution that one can go through by doing that. And once again, there's a short section on today's topic, freedom. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader to understand the soul's development. So if you want to take advantage of this special offer, send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order, $19 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. In order to get the discount, make sure that you mention a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. If you need to get in touch with us for any reason whatsoever, if you'd like to, us to send you out a general package of information or for some other reason, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. We need your help, by the way, and we appreciate your past support. Many of you have sent in donations, both large and small, and that really helps us a lot because we need all sorts of economic help to continue staying on the air. So, if you don't mind, please continue to support us on the radio, and this way we can continue with these shows that so many of you have expressed interest in and so many of you listen to. So, once again, if you'd like to make a donation, send checks or money order to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You were talking about circumstances before, Sarah, and it really intrigued me. And let me see if I've got that right. You're saying that whatever circumstance that we're in, no matter how, unfortunately, no matter how negative or positive, that you're saying that the universe is perfect in a sense because we're supposed to, there's some reason why we're growing or evolving from that particular circumstances, regardless of what it is. Is that really what the Bailey books say?
Well, it's certainly, I think, a basic Buddhist premise that the present provides whatever is appropriate for one's current state of consciousness. Be here now, as who was it, Ram Dass or Alan Watts said, be present in the moment because it's all you have and it's probably completely appropriate. It may not be perfect, but it's appropriate for your next step. Alice Bailey said something to the effect of, there is no circumstance that does not offer some gain to the life of the soul. So that to me means we are never so constrained, so limited, that we can't grow. And I think that's a terribly liberating realization because so many of us butt our heads against imagined walls and think if only we could change this or that, we would then be free to do, be whatever we think we should be. Whereas right now is probably just the right stage for our next point of consciousness.
Right, there are different ways of looking at freedom, at least two different ways. One is being freedom from something, and another way is being freedom of, freedom in the case of what to do with one's personality life and how you can gain more freedom. But one way would be freedom from the glamours that that imprison us, freedom from criticism, freedom from fear, which is one of the four freedoms that President Roosevelt talked about. And others are freedom for humanity, freedom for our for the soul to do its part in the world, and freedom for the spirit to gain its abundance in the world. So, I mean, there are different ways of looking at freedom, and everybody has a chance to work on themselves right now.
I think one of the most important ways we can attain freedom is, and I feel a bit of a hypocrite in saying this, is the release of the past, which personally I'm not too good at. I kind of drag it around in a gunny sack on my back. But I do know more and more that releasing the past sets you free to face the future with energy and with hope and vision. And probably this long, long memory that undoubtedly becomes more and more distorted as the past recedes further and further away, is a kind of limitation that all of us could work on dispelling.
Yes, and being free from the past, you see, that's one of the little renunciations that enable us to increase our capacity for freedom, because as long as you're holding on to the past, you're holding on to your pet little ideas about freedom, then there won't be any expansion of your consciousness, and there won't be any ability to increase your capacity for freedom.
Alice Bailey said a very interesting thing about freedom. She said that the quest for freedom itself can be an imprisoning desire. And she said, no one is really free, a disciple least of all. And you read that the first time and you think, what? No one is really free, a disciple least of all, a spiritual seeker least of all. I think what she was saying was that as you evolve in spiritual awareness, you become more and more aware of your dharma, your soul's duty and purpose that it is here to fulfill. You become more and more aware of responsibility to the people in your immediate environment, your responsibility to your soul, which is your highest self, to act upon the best within you, the highest that you know. And all of that is, in a way, going the opposite direction of the indulgence of personal freedom.
Right. I think this country, we're so caught up in these personal freedoms that, you know, freedom of speech and freedom to assemble anywhere we want to. And I think it sometimes goes to the extreme of license. And it's just, you know, becomes so confining, and I think that's where it really becomes imprisoning, because our capacity at that point is very, very limited.
It's fascinating to ponder on the juxtaposition of individual rights and society's obligations and considerations, and every group in the world is probably at some stage of that balance beam. We probably in a society like America err too much on the side of individual rights. Other countries put the rights of the group above every individual need. I don't know where the perfect balance is, but it's a fascinating thing to see working out. This year is the 200th anniversary in Britain of the abolition of the slave trade. And I've been reading a biography of William Wilberforce, who was a parliamentarian who persistently over 20 years or more brought legislation before Parliament to end the slave trade, and he finally succeeded. And yet 200 years later, slavery is still a reality. We are not all free. Just this morning on the news, I heard that China has recently uncovered a brick factory where children by the hundreds apparently have been enslaved to work in this factory. So we should appreciate our freedoms and at the same time develop a more and more spiritual realization of what it offers.
As you mentioned, the British and the overcoming the slave trade and ending the slave trade, it also in Britain, it goes back even further, the signing of the Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm.
That document was signed during the reign of King John. In fact, on June 15th, 1215 A.D., and that's like 792 years ago. So they were very concerned with human rights at that time, and the Magna Carta was emphasized the personal liberty and the rights of the individual over the authority of the king. And so we have a very long history of demanding rights, and of course the whole note was picked up later with the French Republic and the establishing of the French Republic, and then our own Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and then much later the Atlantic Charter and the Four Freedoms, which was enunciated by President Roosevelt in 1941. So we have a very long history of this emphasis on rights and human freedoms. And it goes, you know, for the last 2,000 years, I guess you could even say it began with the work of Christ and the overcoming the expression of love which he brought to the world as a way of liberation, bringing human beings to a point of liberation.
Well, yes, in his demonstration that liberation includes triumph over the death of the body, that life endures beyond the liberation from the physical body. The quote that we opened with, capacity for freedom, maybe that's one that we should hold in mind as we conclude our thinking about this subject. The books of Alice Bailey said that the intention of hierarchy is to increase man's capacity for freedom so that human beings will learn to respond more effectively, more wisely to the new abundant spiritual vitality pouring into the world and speeding up the evolution of our planet. With this new vitality, new and stronger receptacles are needed. And I think that's where this capacity for freedom comes in. We're all a little scared, probably, at seeing the kind of running amok quality of life today, with so many people indulging their appetites and their whims. And I think a lot of thoughtful people wonder where it's all leading.
Yes, and our dependence on spreading democracy throughout the world. I mean, it's a nice sentiment, but you can see that it gets us in trouble too, because we try to impose it, and it never works well that way.
Mm-hmm. A period of learning and preparation is needed, and in all things, evolution is the best teacher.
You know, Dale piqued my interest before, and he mentioned freedom of criticism. Would freedom of criticism be an indifference to criticism?
Well, that's one way you can build up a sense of indifference to it. Yeah.
And that would be
detachment.
Yeah. You've been listening to Inner Sight, but before we close, I'd just like to say that you can take advantage of our special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including a short section on freedom. It's available for $19. That's the discount price. It's an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader to understand the soul's development. Send check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 100405. Be sure to mention Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.